Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A federal judge has blocked the most controversial aspects of an immigration law in Arizona. And the New York Police Department has sent dozens of officers into a neighborhood on Staten Island to investigate a series of bias crimes against Mexicans. Two stories from two very different parts of the United States. And yet, is there a common thread here? One of anxiety over jobs? Or is there an increasing racial intolerance against Latinos, who make up nearly 16% of the country's population and are the largest minority group in the United States? Joining us is NPR's Maria Hinojosa, host of Latino USA, and John Anise, a reporter with the Staten Island Advance. Maria, welcome back to WNYC. John, welcome and thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Maria, let's start with the national picture. U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton blocked some aspects of the law, but not others. What's going into effect today and what's not?
Well, what's going to go into effect is what she did end up. All right, let me just start again. Here's the most important thing that you have to take away. If you are a Latino and you are perceived to be an immigrant, you do not need to be carrying your papers at all times. That's a big deal. You will not be stopped and questioned about your immigration status. If you are someone looking to hire an undocumented immigrant, you run the risk now of being arrested for that. So actually, some of what has gone through is actually targeting the people who are trying to employ these undocumented immigrants. There is on the ground in Arizona what I would call a mini exhale. This is at the latest news right now is that Arizona is appealing this injunction. So we don't know what could happen in the next 24 hours, frankly, now that there has been an official appeal. So there is not. Yesterday, someone said to me, well, you know, is there a sense of celebration among the Latino population in Arizona and nationwide? I would say no. I think that right now there is a real sense of trepidation and insecurity. And I think you're absolutely right. You can, in fact, tie that back to things that are happening on Staten Island, which is what is the most distressing part of this story. Not for me as a Latina, as somebody who reports on the Latino community, but rather for me as an American citizen, which is what I think the question is, what does this mean about who we are as a country in this moment in 2010?
I will circle back and get your thoughts on that. I wanted to pursue the Arizona issue for a little bit longer. The New York Times' Julia Preston writes today, this ruling will assert the primary authority of the federal government over state lawmakers in immigration matters. What was the Obama administration's response to the judge's action? Was there a flexing of muscle coming from the administration?
Well, frankly, you have not seen the Obama administration per se coming out and applauding this injunction, which is also a signal that is interesting to people who are looking at this in the Latino community, because they might have hoped that, again, the Obama administration might have come out and said, we applaud the fact that this judge has stood on the side of basic constitutional rights and what we as the American people stand for as a country. That hasn't been the line that they've been getting. The line is that this was a Justice Department lawsuit, that the president was not intimately intertwined in this. So again, in terms of the reading from the Latino population, you know, one of the things that you're seeing now is a lot of people saying, oh, what's going to happen in November with the midterm elections?
Right.
This is going to be a huge issue. And, you know, Democrats are probably going to take the hit. And a lot of, you know, within the Latino population, it's kind of like, wow, so now we're going to be blamed if the Democrats don't win. Somehow it's because the Latino population is out there, you know, pushing on the issue of immigration, as opposed to a national conversation that says, okay, here's what happened. This judge has said that there are parts of this law that are damaging to all of us as Americans, all of us. And so all of us as a country, we now have to really sit and think about this, because these state laws, these local laws are not going to fly. We haven't had that kind of a moment. We haven't had that kind of like, okay, everyone, let's breathe deep. It's still, you know, very tense. And of course, now this injunction is being appealed. So it's still up in the air.
Yeah, one aspect of the law that Judge Bolton set aside, this issue of papers, I thought her comments on it were really interesting. She talked about how this would mean potentially tourists from foreign countries being detained and arrested because they don't have their proper papers with them. Perhaps they left their passport back in their hotel room. Legal residents being improperly detained and perhaps arrested. So when you talk about aspects of the law affecting all of us, that's where I really saw that gateway into wider problems.
Exactly. Let me just tell you, when the governor signed this law into effect back in April, what my team at Latino USA did is that we said, okay, we're getting on a plane and we're going down to Arizona. We're going to report from the ground. And as I was walking in my Harlem neighborhood with my daughter, explaining to her that mom was not going to be around all of next week because this is what had just happened in Arizona. And I was explaining to her this situation. And my daughter, who's 12 years old, looked at me and she said, "Mom, you're going to have to take your papers with you." And, you know, when I tell this story, when I go out and I do public speaking, people kind of laugh at that. The fact is that my heart broke at that instant. Broke. And then I looked at her and I paused and I said, "You know what, Jurema?" I said, "You're absolutely right. I do have to take my papers with me because my New York City driver's license is not going to cut it if I get stopped because of the way I look or because of my name or because of the way I sound or because of the people that I'm with. And so you're right," I said, "I have to take my American passport." And then she looked at me and she said, "Mom, please don't ever leave without carrying that with you." Okay. Now, that's what I'm saying. What I want us to talk about as a people who all share this territory that has been a changing, dynamic piece of land from, you know, from the get-go, because this was not, you know, the United States of America from day one. This is a country that has been continually in transition. Is can we get more human about this? Earlier, I said on the show the takeaway that what we need to realize is that this is not a problem of 6 degrees of separation, you know, of our relationship to undocumented immigrants. Every single American, you know, quote unquote, every single person who is living in this country right now has a relationship 1 or 2 degrees separation from an undocumented immigrant. And I have been to all but one. North Dakota is the only one that I haven't gotten to. And in every single one, there is an immigrant presence, whether it's Latino or of other places. And we don't know who's documented and who's not. They are part of who we are. So how do we move forward as a country? And that's why what happened in Staten Island is so worrisome to me.
So let's go to Staten Island. Here's Ray Kelly, police commissioner of the NYPD, earlier this week talking about the police department's response to a series of bias attacks against Mexicans in the neighborhood of Port Richmond.
We have increased patrols in the area. We're meeting with community people. We're meeting with our own officers internally, making certain we're doing everything we can do to prevent attacks such as this, or if they do happen, to very aggressively and do the investigation and make the arrest. We're concerned about it. We're not going to tolerate it.
And a picture today accompanying reporter John Neese's article in the Staten Island Advance, a big, long line of blue and white police cars in Port Richmond. Hi, John. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So describe the trend police have been seeing in Port Richmond. What's going on?
Well, if you speak to people who've lived in the Port Richmond community, the Mexican American population in particular, they've had this problem for a while, and they see themselves as besieged. And this really came to a head, though, back in April when a baker who was on his way home from a nightclub was attacked by four teens wielding wooden sticks. That was he was badly beaten, and the attack was caught on video. The teens were ultimately arrested, and they weren't charged with they were initially charged with a hate crime, but the grand jury later chose not to indict on hate crime charges. Apparently, there was some sort of past confrontation between the man and the teens. But since then, there have been several other attacks, a couple of robberies in April, and then this past June and July, there have been, I think the number that we've been hearing is 10 attacks since April, but the number is a little bit murky. Some of them are later determined not to be bias incidents. a couple of them haven't been, might not have been reported as such. But the upshot of it is the Mexican community, especially in Port Richmond, they're living in fear now, and you hear that at candlelight vigils that have been held at a community forum a couple of weeks ago.
And Port Richmond, I received some statistics from the city's Department of City Planning on the changes in that community. Let's see, primarily, this is actually for Community Board 1, which includes Port Richmond. So this is actually a larger demographic swath than just this particular neighborhood.
Right.
But a 33% increase in the Hispanic population between 2000 and 2006. Parts of Port Richmond called Little Mexico. Describe the community for me and some of the tensions that are being felt there.
As you said, there's been a large growth in the Mexican population over the last 10 years, and there's that's come into some conflict with another established population. I mean, there's a large African American population in the area, and I've spoken to some population and sociology experts who say that population growth, coupled with the tough economic times and the unemployment rate, has led to some tensions, and they think that might be at the heart of some of these attacks.
Maria Hinojosa, what do you think? Do you think these are crimes of opportunity? John, I know when you spoke with Staten Island Borough President James Molinaro, that's what he thinks
right.
It is. Several of these folks were attacked coming out of bars, considered perhaps
you have
easy
to put
targets.
The question, you have to put the question of opportunity in a larger context, crimes of opportunity in a much larger context, but specifically on the issue of jobs. We do know, and we do have to talk about the tension that can exist between unskilled labor in America, whether it's African American or white labor, perhaps being displaced by Mexican undocumented immigrant labor. But let's just think about Staten Island for a second. Are you really saying that the jobs that these particular Mexicans are doing in a bakery, delivering food, cooking, making pizza, doing prep work or gardening, really are these jobs that young African American men would want to do? Now, the question that I pose is this: is it more that the messages that they're getting across the board is that, you know what, Mexicans right now, don't really like them so much. Mm. You know, Arizona's trying to deport a lot of them. You know, we've got people on all kinds of mainstream media programs talking about Mexicans this, Mexicans that. You know what? I'm angry. I'm frustrated. It's a long, hot summer right now. I don't have a job. And even though I don't really ever think I would want to be delivering Chinese food at midnight on a bicycle, you know, and making only tips, what the heck? Here's this guy. I know he's got a couple of bucks on him because Mexicans don't have bank accounts, because they can't open them, because they don't have papers, and because of the requirements. And so, yeah, I think I may just go ahead and, you know, just jump this person. And while I'm at stealing the money, go ahead and call him these words that somehow have become part of our conversation. When we were covering the story about Long Island, everybody heard that term that is so offensive, but it is used. And so we have to use it. Beaner hopping.
Mm-hmm.
Beaner hopping in the year 2010? What are we talking about? How is it possible? And yet, you know, I do continue to go back to, you know, what is the climate that we are all living in? And this is one of my greatest concerns, and why when I was at CNN, I raised issues around having someone like Lou Dobbs continually using these terms, because then it becomes part of the mainstream language. Not to say that we don't have an issue. We do. We have to talk about it. But to target one population, and we have to talk about that way. Mm-hmm. And we have to talk about it because, you know what, this is a population that feels targeted, feels targeted. What does that mean to the rest of us, that we have a population that is living among us, that is literally our brothers and sisters in this city, that feels targeted? And let me just finish by saying this, Amy.
Sure.
This is Staten Island. There is a sense that, okay, it's out there, it's isolated, no one's ever going to know. You know, I mean, Mexicans were moving out there probably because it was an inexpensive place where they could move, and they probably did something to kind of bring up some parts of the community that were maybe downtrodden. But this is a story of that is repeated across the board. Spanish Harlem. When I was following a particular family, young boy is a victim of a hate crime where he is called, you know, words and names. People witness it. The mom goes into the school. And the school says it happened off of our property and out of our hours, has nothing to do with it, even though it was a student who did this. She goes and she sits in her local police precinct for 3 hours with an injured son, and they ignore her.
Maria,
ignore her.
Thank you, Maria. Your comments are spurring a lot of calls, and I want to be sure to get a few of them in before we wrap up this segment. Douglas from Staten Island, you're on WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me the opportunity to talk and rebut some of Ms. Hinojosa's comments. First of all, I am a member of my community in Staten Island, and I've seen the devastation that the poor black community is going through when you put in a wave of illegal immigration. And they feel that their destiny is not in their hands. That's my first point. And second point, years ago, in a galaxy far away, wages were busboys, dishwashers, and delivery boys, and some gardeners, believe it or not, made a living wage. I guess I have to get some of these documentary films and make a special film about that. And they've lost control of their community and their ability to organize, and these communities are poor. Poor black men who are from poor circumstances, and they've lost the ability to collective bargain.
Doug, thanks for your comment. John Anise, reporter with the Staten Island Advance, you've been on the ground following this story. Douglas's comment, do you feel that it resonates with a lot of white and black residents in Port Richmond or in Staten Island as a whole?
Oh, you do hear, you definitely hear people saying things like that. It's a... At one of the forums that I'd attended, it was the U.S. Department of Justice and the NYPD, was held by one of the community groups. There was an activist from the African American community who the first thing he did was apologize on behalf of the people committing the attacks. But then he had said that there's an established community here, and as much as we need to respect your group, you need to respect our group as well. So, I mean, that sentiment is out there.
We will continue this conversation online. Post your comments to the Brian Lehrer Show page on our website, WNYC.org. Thank you so much to Maria Hinojosa, NPR's host of Latino USA, and to John Anise, a reporter with the Staten Island Advance. Thanks so much for joining us here on WNYC.
My pleasure.
And to be noted, there is a march in opposition to the Arizona immigration law going on right now across the Brooklyn Bridge. WNYC's news team will be reporting on it throughout the afternoon on All Things Considered, so be sure to tune into that. Coming up next, our Thursdays in July are devoted to talking about volunteering. We will continue that conversation. Stay tuned.